The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome to Afternoons with Mike. It is so great to be on the line today with someone that I have actually not even had the privilege of meeting face-to-face, but I know people who he works with. And that would be the John Crossman and Associates over at Crossmark. I'm talking today to John Martinez. John, welcome to my program today.
Thanks, Mike. I'm glad to be here.
It's always great to meet new people. And in this day and age, we're having to do that virtually. But we're looking forward to the day, hopefully very soon, that all of us will be back in our nice studios in Winter Park. And being able to meet people like you face to face. And we've got this beautiful studio, John. I don't know if you've been up there with John Crossman yet to see it, but it is so nice. And boy, yeah, we're anxious to get back. But it's so kind for you to be with us here today on the program. And, you know, just hearing a little bit, reading a little bit about your life, it is one, like so many, that you've come to know the Lord, you've come to see His grace in your life, you've come to see His faithfulness, and that's such a wonderful thing to have that, regardless of tough times. And like many of my guests, it's surprising, John, how many PKs I've had on my program, preacher's kids, and that's what you are. Were you ever referred to that yourself?
I was more of an MK. My dad worked for a parachurch organization basically my entire life, and it was in the area of children's ministry. So I would have been falling more under the category of MK, missionary kid.
Oh.
My dad, you know, he's full-time, you know, he was full-time and had to raise support. And so, but there's a lot of similarities between MKs and PKs, a lot of the same stresses and family dynamics for sure.
Well, I'd love to ask this question of my guests. How did you come to know the Lord personally?
You know, I being in a home where my father was in full-time Christian ministry, and with it being the ministry was for children. So I, from a very early age, heard the gospel in its most simple form, you know, the way it would be presented to children. And I was also involved with our church ministry. So between church and the ministry my dad was doing, I heard the gospel from a very early age and made a profession of faith very early on. And, you know, as I look at my faith journey, I don't know. I made a profession of faith then. There was times where I was very close to God in some ways. I was very religious, and to know when that actually when the true conversion took place is difficult, because as I look back at my life, there I was extremely religious, and at times I wonder if I was just kind of performing. Acting, I wouldn't have known it at the time. I would have thought I had done everything right. I was checking all the boxes and I was working, but I was in some situations where they were kind of legalistic, where what was really seemed to be promoted, or what I heard, was that if, you know, we have to look a certain way, we have to act a certain way, and that's really what's most important. And really, like, impressing other people and trying to make people think that we are very good, religious, that we are following all the rules is kind of the most important thing. And that the reality of what's really going on in our heart is not as important. And almost like we really can't talk about what's really going on in our hearts, or maybe our frustrations, concerns, our doubts, our kind of working at our faith with fear and trembling. Those things were kind of frowned upon. Like, you just needed to, like, follow and do and act a certain way, and everything is okay. And so at least that's the message I got as a child. And I would say that it wasn't until much later in life that I had a healthy relationship with God. And I was in a counselor's office, and someone asked me about my relationship with God, and it kind of hit me like, wow, it's really changed from having to act and perform and strive to where I really see the Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father is someone who is, who loves me and is happy with me and is a true father, mm-hmm. like a caring, loving father. And so it was a long faith journey for me, for sure.
You know, I've heard this same thing from so many people. There's almost a sense of having to unlearn some things that we thought about God or that we thought we knew about God. And we find out that those things were either things that were passed along unintentionally or perhaps maybe passed along just because people in our life, even our parents, that they just didn't understand themselves. Perhaps the grace of God or that aspect of God as our Father. And I am sure of the many, many people that I've talked to over these past several months on my program that would have a similar story. I am sure their parents never intentionally passed along information that would be, pressured or, like you said, legalistic. It seems to happen so unintentionally, but happened nevertheless. It often does and did in your life, where the picture you have from God is more one that he's pleased with you if you're doing what you perceive to be right or what you think he perceives for you as right. And if you didn't perform well, if you don't behave well, then he's very displeased with you. That seems to be what so often is passed along and at least explained by people in your situation. And that is unfortunate.
It is, Mike. You know, one of the things I like to say, and I've kind of picked this up from other folks that talk about their families of origin. It's a phrase that says, "What I heard was," because it kind of allows for, like, you know, I'm a flawed, broken human being. What was said and what I heard could be very different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. There's a lot of times where some of these things were passed on unintentionally. Or it's my own brokenness as a human that I heard certain things or I picked up on certain things. So it's a gracious way of saying, I don't think anybody was intentionally saying, God's only happy with you when you perform. God's only happy with you when you act a certain way. That's the message I got. And again, these are also other flawed human beings doing the best they can, and I am a flawed human being hearing the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I picked up on, and it's my job to look back and figure out how to live today, how to learning from mistakes or misunderstandings from the past, and doing the best I can today to be a follower. And to be as healthy as I can today.
I remember as a parent, I remember dealing with an issue of discipline with my son when I had one of those awakening moments. And I realized mm-hmm. that I was passing on what was functional behavior, like a moralistic position where I was taking, but not tending to his heart and not...
Yes.
presenting the correction in light of the gospel. And I tell you what, when I got that message in my heart, it changed a lot in me as a parent. And by God's grace, I started to see a difference in the way that even my son and my other kids as well, how they flourished under that kind of discipline, that type of correction, when it's being added with the grace of God and the gospel having its impact. And I think parents so often will forget the fact that we ourselves as parents, and what you said is so true, we're flawed ourselves. We're broken ourselves. And we at times can expect our kids to be something that we aren't. we want them to do what we can't do. We can't perform well all the time. We don't obey perfectly every situation, but we can inadvertently expect our kids to do that. So isn't it wonderful that we survive those things?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm grateful for the grace of God. What a marvelous teaching that is. And, you know, looking back at my life, that's one of the most important things that I learned about God is how gracious He is, how good He is. And the scripture says that it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. And what a marvelous passage that is.
I remember as an adult, the first time I feel like I heard, this just sounds crazy, right? I've been in church my whole life, but it was like the first time I heard the gospel, and it was maybe because of where I was in my own life. And when I say the first time I heard the gospel, it's maybe because the place I was in, my ears were tuned a certain way. But I was on a men's retreat, and there was a guy named Chip Dodd and a guy named Jeff Schulte, and Jeff Schulte had been a pastor, had gone through some of his own struggles, and had started a new ministry, kind of reaching out to men. And one of the things they said was that they quoted John Calvin, and it said, to know oneself is to know God. To know God is to know oneself. Which comes first, I do not know. And so one of the interesting things that's happened in the Christian church, and at least in my observation, is that there's been a huge emphasis on Scripture, which obviously we'd all agree it's very important, but there's less of an emphasis on people really looking at themselves honestly and telling the truth about themselves. Again, a little bit of like, we need to come to church and we need to look a certain way. We need to act a certain way. We need to make sure that people think of us a certain way. And maybe unintentionally, one of the things that kind of goes away is like, I need to, if there's something I'm struggling with, there's something I'm hurting, and there's something broken with my family, with me, that's something that I can't really bring to the church or to my Christian friends, because I need to keep up a certain appearance. Obviously, that was something I struggled with. But on this retreat, they talked about how God, what He really wants from us, and really all that He'll accept from us, is our humanness, our brokenness. So like, when we put all of our need, all of our hurt, our sad, our lonely, our guilt, our shame in our hands, we put all that mess, the stuff we were trying to, like, at least for me, the stuff I was trying to protect and hide from everybody, and God too. Like, I wanted to pretend like all these other things going on inside of me weren't true, but that's the only thing that He'll accept. That's the offering we give to Him, just the mess that we are as humans. That's really all He'll accept. When we put anything that, like, hey, I'm good, I do these good things, that's what the scripture calls our righteousness is filthy rags to God. Like, He has no interest in us trying to convince Him or anybody that we are worthy or good. What He's interested in is us coming to Him with all of our mess. And that's, and I remember hearing that for the first time, and it scared me. Like, God really wants to know the truth. It's so ironic, right? We all know intellectually that God already knows all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But to be intimate with God and just say, this is just the mess of a human I am, and I need help, like you'd cry out to your father, like, that level of intimacy was a new thought to me. And it's kind of terrifying. Like, I don't even know what that looks like, to be that honest, that needy, and almost that hopeful that's really what God wants from me, like, just the mess that I am. Also freeing, right? Like, He's really not interested in me trying to perform and convince everybody, which takes a lot of energy and effort. He really just wants me to bring my humanness, my frailty. And he can make such great things out of that. Like, when we take that to Him and say that I can't do this life, like, it's too much, this is a tragic place. And of course, we're living through COVID right now. There's never been a more evident time where we're living in a tragic, difficult world where there aren't easy answers. There's lots of sadness, lots of hurt. And God wants to take all of that, all of our inability to cope with this tragic place, this fallen world we live in.
It's so true. And, you know, the part that we bring to the table with God is surprisingly our sin, because we couldn't do anything about that. And that's what we contribute to our salvation, is the fact that we need a Savior. And we're all in that that needy position in this way. I'm talking today to John Martinez. He is with Crossman Career Builders. We'll learn more about John and his story and his testimony coming up in a moment. You're on Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. On the line today with John Martinez from Crossman Career Builders, and that is a company owned by John Crossman, who was on our program just this past Monday. And John, another John, I don't think that's a requirement, right, to be named John to work for that company. Yeah, that's...
No, it actually is. We will only hire people named John. It makes the hiring process very easy
to
exclude a lot of candidates.
That's funny. Yeah, that's great. John is obviously a friend of John Crossman, a friend of this program, and it's great to get to know John Martinez today. And we've, in segment one, had a great discussion about the grace of God, something that we all need, something that John himself discovered as a young man growing up in a home led by a believing parent and a person also in ministry. But still, as so often is the case, growing up without that understanding of the grace of God and that performance treadmill, you know, that's what it's been called so oftentimes. We see that picture of a treadmill and the person on working as hard as he can be working and yet never going anywhere other than in that same spot. And that's such a great picture, John, for what striving and not enjoying the grace of God really is, because we're just working and never going anywhere, never advancing down the road at all in our relationship with God. And how good it is that the grace sets us free from that and understanding the Lord's loving kindness. Now, one of the areas that you feel a real strong, I think, maybe a direction to go in is to help men who were be somewhat like yourself in that situation and in their struggles, in their weaknesses, in their battles, trying to help men kind of come to grip with what's going on the inside of them.
Yeah, it's when we can come to grips with what's going on inside of us and tell the truth about it, that we can actually have that honest relationship with our Heavenly Father and with other people. I think with men especially, it's a real struggle to talk about feelings. If you sit in a group of men and say, let's talk about feelings, I mean, everybody is so uncomfortable. Like, they're looking for the door, they're looking at their phone, they're saying, why did my wife make me come to this? Or, you know, my wife's trying to sabotage me. We really kind of think as feelings as being something that's relegated to something that's feminine. It's for the women. I'm a man. I watch sports. I eat meat, and I play golf. And you know, I might have a feeling once or twice a year, but that's not my job. That's the job of the woman. But if we look at, you know, if you look at Scripture, and you look at David, the man after God's own heart. He was a poet, and you read through the Psalms, he was clearly in touch with his feelings. And he expressed them in volumes. And we would not think of David as being a weak man. We know of he was a tremendous warrior. Obviously, he killed Goliath. He led men in battle. So he was not a wimp or a weak man by any stretch, and a man that was very in touch with his feelings, and he took them, and at times was just a complete mess, even at times seemingly wondering if God had forsaken him and forgotten him. And he always came back to, like, the only safe place to take those feelings was his Heavenly Father. And he would always come back to, like, that he could trust his Heavenly Father. But it's almost like he had to wander through the wilderness of his feelings and how he was truly feeling abandoned by God to get back to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say all that to say that, like, we can still be manly men. We don't have to give up our masculinity to discuss our feelings and have those feelings. And I think in the Christian world, a lot of times there's kind of that thought that, like, you know, it's effeminate. I think one of the reasons why we have a hard time in the feelings category is that in our family of origins, a lot of the times the messages we got or we thought we were getting from our dads is that it is kind of, we're not really allowed to have feelings. When we were born, we were allowed to express our feelings, like in its purest form. When we were hungry, we cried. When we were sad, we cried. And no one, you know, as a baby, the baby gets picked up, the baby gets fed. But as we kind of grew a little older, a lot of times we figured out that, like, when I am honest about how I feel, that's not serving me well in this situation. There's lots of, you think about phrases you heard or maybe you heard growing up with, like, I'll give you something to cry about. Like, it's not your sadness, your tears are not okay here. Like, you need to suck it up. You need to be a man. You need to, and so the message is, like, if you're a man and if you want to be respected in this house, you need to put that away. And, so a lot of our families of origin, you know, having feelings of sadness, of hurt, of guilt, and there was no safe place or way to communicate that. So we just learned, like, okay, that's not serving me well. I'll just stuff that down.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just figure it out. I'll just push forward. And so we've lived our lives discounting the reality, the truth of what's going on inside of us. And so in a lot of ways, I feel like men at times are like ticking time bombs. Like, those feelings are all there. And if they're not dealt with in a healthy way, a lot of times they will come out in unhealthy ways. So if you're a man that's all of a sudden struggling with anger in your marriage, and your words are abusive, or even at times, like, you get physical with your wife or kids in ways that is, like, unexpected to you. Like, it's all those feelings for all those years coming out that have never been dealt with in a healthy way. Or the feelings get so overwhelming that, like, men turn to drugs or alcohol or sex to deal with the feeling. Instead of feeling, I will distract myself. I will feel better by doing these other things, which does work in the moment. But we know the dangers that lie behind basically dealing with our feelings through unhealthy ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in our churches and in the news, we see all the time men that have chosen to deal with their feelings in unhealthy ways and the consequences for them and their families. And so when I, part of my story is that I had checked all the boxes. I had performed well. I'd done everything that God, I felt like God was wanting me to do. And, I ended up in my first marriage with somebody that struggled with alcohol. And that was kind of a mess. I ended up in a second marriage, more unhealthy than my first marriage. And I struggled with a lot of anger. Like, God, I kind of did everything you asked me to do. And then, it has not gone the way I was told it would go.
Mm-hmm.
If I did what I was told, you haven't held up your end of the bargain. Mm-hmm. It was kind of the feeling or thought. And I really struggled with, anger toward God. Like, I've done my part. You have failed me. And, I got in a really unhealthy marriage. And again, I started struggling with depression. I started struggling with even just thoughts of, like, it'd be better to walk out that front door and just live under a bridge than to stay in this unhealthy marriage. Or maybe I should drive into a tree. I don't think I was ever planning suicide, but there were some suicidal thoughts that started to creep in.
Mm.
It seemed like that would be a better escape. And I ended up going to Nashville, Tennessee for treatment for 6 weeks. With Chip Dodd, and it's the same. It's and Jeff Schulte kind of helped guide me there, and it was there that I for the first time, kind of consistently learned how to learn the language of the heart. But there's in Chip Dodd's world, there's 8 feelings, and all the other, it's like 8 basic feelings, like the three colors that all other colors come from.
Mm-hmm.
Same with, like, these 8 feelings. And when we can tell, we can identify the feelings. And one of the difficulties with a lot of men is, like, they would say they don't know what they're feeling. It's such an unlearned thing. You know, when I work with children know what they're feeling. We kind of lose the ability. We almost have to, we so push down our feelings, we almost lose the ability to even know what we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to identify, I mean, I'm really sad about this. That really hurt me. I have some shame or guilt or fear. Those are all really important feelings to have. And God gave us the ability to have those feelings for good. Like, those are all things that can lead to health and to intimacy with God and others. But I had to learn how to even just identify, here's what I'm feeling. I had to learn how to tell the truth to, counselors and other men. And that's what kind of like gave me life. It's in those relationships with other men, with God, that we can really enjoy the abundant life that Jesus talks about. We were designed to be in relation with God. We were designed to be in close relation with other people. And as best I understand it, the only way we can really be in that kind of relationship, that kind of intimate relationship, is when we talk about our humanness, our feelings. And so for a lot of men, it's they've like me and like John Crossman, we spend a lot of time in our lives like checking all the boxes, and all of a sudden we get to a point where we're like, hey, this hasn't really worked out the way we thought it would. And so going through a process of learning about feelings and sharing feelings, it's scary and it's difficult because we have to kind of tell the truth about some of the things we tried to keep hidden for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much life on the other side, and there's so much help that can be given to other people when we're willing to tell our story, we're willing to talk about our humanness. And I believe that people are desperate to hear that they're not alone.
I think
their
that
sadness, their hurt.
I agree with you, and I think the Psalms are such a great help in this whole thing of kind of coming in touch with what's going on in the inside of our hearts, our minds, or expressed, as you said, in our feelings. Psalm 73, it's a psalm of Asaph, not David, but Asaph as well was really fighting with all this in this passage. In fact, in verse 16, I've got it pulled up here, it says, but when I thought how to understand this, and he was dealing, just the context here, he was dealing with a little bit of pity. He was looking around at everyone around him who they, in his mind, were not doing. They were not trying to toe the line like what you're talking about. They hadn't checked the boxes, and yet their lives seemed to be working out just absolutely perfectly in his mind, and he couldn't understand it. And it says in verse 16, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. And I tell you what, that's what it takes. It takes getting alone with God at times and having our eyes open. In verse 22, he says this about describing himself. He said, I was brutish and ignorant, speaking about himself toward God. He said, I was like a beast toward you. And I think at times becoming absorbed as men, becoming absorbed with all these things that seem not right in our lives, and we refuse or we think we can't come in touch with what's going on in our heart or in our mind or these feelings that are coming across our lives, it can lead us to where we are kind of hardened, mad, if you will, before God, and find ourselves like Asaph. Lord, I was like a brute before you. And if there are people listening today, what advice would you have for men who, if they're listening to this discussion and they say, man, John, Mike, that's exactly where I feel today. That's exactly what's going on. What advice do you give?
So one of the things I would say is that one of the things we've kind of learned, I think, in the church and in the kind of this Western culture is that we can kind of think our way out of those feelings. Like, it is a verse that says, as a man thinketh,
so is he.
And most people forget. Well, right now, but it's not. It's not as a man thinketh, so is he. It's a man thinketh in his heart. Those words almost get left out because that's the heart is the feelings part. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we have to do is find, whether it's a counselor or a pastor or a safe friend. And a lot of times the people that can help you when you're dealing with feelings are not maybe the people you thought. Maybe it's the people that are like me that have been divorced twice, that have kind of lived through some difficult things. First of all, there's no judgment here. Like, if you tell me, I think with all the men I talked to, like, I've gotten to the point in life where, like, I'm pretty much not going to be surprised anything you tell me. Either I lived through that mess, or I've been in a relationship with other men that have lived through some difficult things. But finding some people that you can really just tell the truth, like, man, like, I know that I should be, we kind of should ourselves a lot. I know I should be happy. Like, there's enough money in my bank account. Mm-hmm. My wife is a phenomenal wife. My kids are great. And yet I'm not, I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling with immense sadness or hurt or loneliness. And being able to talk about it, it could be with a counselor. It could be with, like I said, with a pastor, or just finding some safe men to talk about it. And it doesn't need to be safe people. Like, not everybody can handle hearing some really difficult things about what's going on in the inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for a lot of people that have made that attempt, if they didn't go to the right person initially, there's a lot of well-meaning people in churches that just literally have no idea what to do with some, when people really start sharing their heart. Like, they really want to hear that everything's great and that, you know, we're saved, we're going to heaven and everything's great. But when that's not the reality of what's going on, we've got to talk about those things. Like, our feelings will not go away. Like, it's the truth of who we are. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. And so finding some healthy people to talk about with those things with is so critical. When I first met John Crossman, that was kind of his thing. There were so many great things going on in his life, and yet he was feeling unfulfilled. And ironically, he heard me and another gentleman basically telling each other on a men's retreat in a cabin, informally, just like sharing some of our experiences. And many of them were like awful, the things we'd lived through in our marriages. And John pulled me aside and said, man, I've never heard men talk like that before. It was like a whole new language, because we were telling the truth. We were sharing feelings. It was very redemptive. And John's like, how do you get there? What is that? It was like a whole new language for him.
Hmm.
And I said, John, it's kind of hard. It's a hard process. It might be one of the hardest things you ever do. And at that point in his life, John is a phenomenal servant. John is also a PK, John Crossman. And he would tell you, if you asked him, you know, what are some things you're sad about? He would say, I'm not sad. He almost wouldn't give himself the permission. Like, life is too good for me to be sad, so therefore I shouldn't be sad. Therefore, I am not sad about anything. And he had to really learn to, like, look at his life honestly and say, no, there's plenty here. We're in a tragic world. Like, this idea that, like, because we're saved and because we're followers of Jesus, that, like, all of a sudden we're not able to have difficulties and sadness. Again, just look at David's life. It's wrought. Some things that were out of his control, some poor decisions he made, but there's lots of tragedy and sadness in David's life. And there's tragedy and sadness right now with this COVID epidemic.
Mm-hmm. Right?
People are losing businesses. People have lost loved ones. People have just the amount of stress and in households where kids have been home for 8 weeks now that it used to be in school, just unbelievable levels of stress and you know, the levels of alcohol addiction are going up, the levels of domestic violence are shooting up, all these mental health issues are getting magnified right mm-hmm, now because mm-hmm. of the so with John, it was like he went through this process. I took his men's Bible study group through a workbook, and I worked with John a lot one-on-one, and that's what helped him. And I was able to help some other guys, and that's why John said, hey, man, I'm doing this new thing, Crossman Career Builders. I want you to come on board with me, and let's help men that maybe seem to have everything going right for them, but they're still unfulfilled. Like, they need to be able to learn how to feel feelings, tell the truth, and have a deeper, more meaningful life in a relationship, and sometimes, you know, with God, with other men. That's kind of what we're up to.
Well, that's exciting, and I wish that effort the very best, because this whole process of men coming in touch with what God is doing, what God is saying, it does involve, we can't separate out our emotions from our mind. We just have to mitigate those things, put them in right place, and learn to live. I think one of the wrong messages our culture tends to send is that we're bound to our feelings. We're bound by what we feel. And sometimes we feel things that are right, and sometimes we feel things that are wrong. It's that wisdom and discernment to know the difference and to inform our feelings with truth. Now, that is something that men really need. We all need the truth, don't we?
Absolutely. And to really inform the feelings with truth, we've got to like really get in there and tell the truth about the feelings. It's, you know, with feeling sad, sadness is like, it's an honoring feeling. You only feel sad about the loss of something that really mattered to you. Like when you're at a funeral and you're crying, it means that person meant a lot to you. And so, sadness is not something we should ignore or try to put away. It's almost something to kind of like hold and like kind of ask God, like, what's going on with me right now that I feel this sadness? And just kind of spend time with God and with other guys, like just telling the truth about like how much you miss that person or that relationship. It's something that we can bring us closer to other people and to God when we can kind of say yes and just kind of acknowledge it instead of just like ignoring it or putting it away. Sadness is really a gift from God for us to be closer to God and other people.
Mm-hmm. We need to understand those things as men, and this is very helpful to have this chat about it, and I'm praying that men who are in this situation hearing this can respond, and we'll have your email address coming up in just a moment here for them, so stay tuned. I'm talking today to John Martinez, and this is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. We're going to be back in just a moment for one final segment. Back again one more time with John Martinez from Crossman Career Builders. Just a very necessary discussion about men who are needing to come in touch with what's going on in their heart, in their feelings, in their mind before God, and not living our lives in that treadmill mentality where we're always going, we're always walking, but we're never getting where God wants us to go. And I think this is so helpful, John, and it's exciting. Now, you mentioned yourself that you at one point were a person that was taking some counseling sessions, professional counseling sessions, and that brings up the question that a lot of men may have. When is it time for me to check out if I need that or if that would be beneficial? What are your thoughts about that?
Sure. It's interesting. I had a mentor in Memphis where I spent most of my days, talked about counseling, and he said, you know, men, when their car's starting to run a little rough, they don't hesitate to take the car into the shop to get it tuned up, to get someone to look at it. You don't have to wait till the car stops working to go get it worked on. What happens a lot of times is that the men want to pretend like things are getting better or it's someone else's issue. If my wife or kids would just start acting right, then everything would be okay. But when there's things with the children or things in the marriage or even things internally that are a little bit off, just like you take your car to the shop to get it tuned up because it's not running optimally, there are times where it's good to go to professional counselors and say, you know, here's what's kind of off for me. Again, there's kind of at times with some men kind of a stigma of like, that's weakness. Like I should be able to think my way through this. I shouldn't have to go there. We would never think that about the car. We know that like cars need to get tuned up. Mm-hmm. We also know that if we wait too long to tune that car up, that there could be more issues that come down the road. Or if we'd done a little preventative maintenance, it wouldn't have had to get so bad. It wouldn't have had to like, I wouldn't have had to get the car stop working and I had to pull over to the side of the road and get the tow truck. But a lot of times, unfortunately, you know, men in their, maybe in their pride or maybe in their own pain or in their own fear of like how they'll be perceived if someone finds out they're going to counseling, they'll wait till they're literally in the ditch. The car's in the ditch before they get that help. So I would just encourage guys, and John Crossman, who I work with, speaks to college students and speaks to business leaders all the time. And one of his big things is like, hey, when you're depressed or feeling, you know, needing help, go get the help. You know, when you need a doctor, go get the physical every year. But when you need a doctor, go to the doctor. When you need a counselor, go to the counselor. Don't wait for it to be a crisis level before you reach that out for professional help. And so if there's, especially if there's issues of addiction because of our not dealing with our feelings in healthy ways, but we're medicating our feelings so we don't have to feel, if you find yourself in that situation, I would definitely want to encourage you to go to a counselor. If it's an issue with the marriage, like don't wait for it to get to where there's talk of separation or talk of like this not working out. Like I just encourage men to really consider when the car is starting to run rough, you go to the mechanic. When your marriage is starting to run rough and there's small areas that can be worked on, some and a little bit of outside help could help you find some healthier ways to deal with that conflict. I would encourage men to seek that out.
Helpful advice there, John. Now, you work with John Crossman at Crossman Career Builders, and obviously you're talking about giving advice to men in their career, men and women in their career. And I know John's written a book, and it's recently come out as an audio book about this very thing. In fact, I think the title has something to do with career killers, what is that title?
Yeah. So the book is called Career Killers, Career Builders. And it, you know, John's been talking to college students for 25 years and we are still working together to find different ways to communicate with college students. Basically our heart is that we want to see college students, you know, thrive in their careers. And so John, about several years ago, I think at the University of Florida where your kids went, he was giving speeches and one of his most popular speeches was 5 ways to kill your career, 5 ways to kind of grow your career. And it turned in, he kind of took that speech and wrote a book. And it's really practical wisdom, like the stuff your grandma would tell you. Be cautious about alcohol at the Christmas party. Like those things can derail your career. Be careful about starting relationships with people in the office. These are things that can kill your career. And there's, you know, one of the big things he really pushes is finding mentors, asking for help early in your career. Don't act like you have it all figured out. And so it's 5 ways you can kill your career, 5 ways you can build your career. It's very practical wisdom. And so it's kind of got a twofold way that it helps. Obviously, you're a young college graduate, even a high school graduate, learning these principles could be so helpful. But what we've also seen is that there's a lot of people who own businesses that like, hey, this stuff is really our employees didn't get this in their MBA program. Like these practical things, they learn how to read a spreadsheet and how to be really good at business. But these practical things are so helpful that, you know, a lot of people have asked John to come in and share with their whole workforce the messages in his book to be successful. So yeah, it's a phenomenal book. And just this week, we've launched our website, which is Crossman, C-R-O-S-M-A-N, Crossman CB. So Crossman CB stands for Crossman Career Builders, CrossmanCB.com.
Now you said C-R-O-S-1-S or 2?
It's 2. Two I'm sorry, S's. Maybe I thought too fast. Yeah, Crossman, C-R-O-S-S-M-A-N-C-B. .com. And of course that CB stands for Career Builders, CrossmanCB.com. Yeah. And if anybody wants to talk to us about doing anything for them individually or for their business, that's where they would go and give us their information. We'll reach back out to them. We're super excited about that. We are already working with guys one-on-one, and we're also working with CEOs with their leadership teams. And you think, you know, what is it that feelings have to do with business? And there really is this really big push right now in the area of emotional intelligence. And I've even read articles here in the last couple of weeks that say it used to be something that people thought was a nice kind of quiver in their a nice add-on. Like if you can get to that point in your business where you have a good emotional intelligence, it's helpful. But with this COVID quarantine, and all of a sudden, the humanness of your employees, of your coworkers, has never been more evident, because mm-hmm. now we're in Zoom meetings with the dogs in the background, with the kids crying, working from home. All of a sudden, it's like there's a whole human side here before we almost could pretend before it didn't exist, because we're in an office environment, we're getting stuff done, it's all about work. And all of a sudden, it's way more than just the work you're doing. It's like there's a human element. Are you healthy? Are you safe? Or how are your kids? How are you managing your kids being home from school and you're trying to work from home? Like all of a sudden, the human element, and really understand that, like, we've got to, if we want to be the most effective we can be in our workplace environments, we have to have emotional intelligence and know how to, like, work with the whole person, not just the worker in that person.
Yes. Because the worker in that person is in a bit of a furnace that's fired up. And if our home is a furnace and that we've had plenty of wood from COVID to throw that thing in there, and it's ablaze right now with things that have never happened. In just a few moments, go back through that website one more time. But I know that we're just about out of time here, and I really want to say thank you for helping these men that are listening today and kind of come into this position of grabbing a hold of truth and saying, you know, I'm going to apply what has been said here, and that will help them if they do. Give us that website one more time.
It's crossmancb.com. So that's crossmancb.com. So Crossman Career Builders. The CB stands for Career Builders. crossmancb.com.
And I want to thank you, John Martinez, my guest today on Afternoons with Mike. It's been great to talk with you. Look forward to meeting you sometime face-to-face in the studio as we are all praying for the COVID guidelines and all of that to kind of let us return back to normal. And I wish you the very best, and say hello to John over there for us.
Mike, I sure will. Thank you so much for having me today.
And friends, thanks for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.